You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the globe to bring you the latest developments in medical cannabis, adult marijuana, industrial hemp, and spiritual ganja. We love the earth. It's time for the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville. Now, here's your host, Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Friday, June 16th, 2017, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. We made it to the weekend. We're so glad to have you here on the show, and thank you for supporting us through your patronage at mjagenda.com. We welcome aboard today marijuanamoment.net that has become a gold subscriber and supporter of the Marijuana Agenda. So glad to have them on board. On our show today in the cannabis headline news, we begin with shocking audio of the president threatening to come down, quote, very, very hard on the drug program, drug problem in America. In Activist Agenda, we hear from Phylos Biosciences' Nishan Karasik on cannabis naming. In Drug War Data Mining, we'll take a look at the ACLU report on New Jersey marijuana arrests. And in Pot in Public Policy, we talk about the Jeff Sessions Russia scandal and how that might impact his wish to crack down on marijuana, as evidenced by a recent letter to congressional leaders. John Hudak from the Brookings Institute will be discussing that with us. And then at the end of the show, time for our weekend Reefer Rock Review, where Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour on 420 Radio comes into the studio and tells us all about the Maryland Doom Festival coming up soon. Some great stoner rock bands appearing there. That's all coming up today, plus Hour 2's Toker Talk Radio, but we're next with the news right after these messages.
You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
Hi, I'm Russ Belville from the Marijuana Agenda. Putting together the most comprehensive live weekday marijuana news talk program is a full-time job. Now you can do your part to ensure that listener-supported independent cannabis radio journalism can continue by becoming a patron of the Marijuana Agenda. Just log on to mjagenda.com and click the Become a Patron button. For your $4.20 monthly donation, you'll receive over 20 hours of original first-hour podcasts, plus other materials only available to paid subscribers. Or for just $9.99 a month, become a VIP patron. You'll get over 40 hours of podcasts for the complete program, including Toker Talk Radio, plus ad-free downloads of the segments heard on the Marijuana Agenda. Plus, VIPs get exclusive access to the video replay of the two-hour live stream show and downloads of the spreadsheets and charts I provide from my years of curating marijuana data sets. Thank you for your support, and remember, I cannot do it without you. Please become a patron today at mjagenda.com. And now, in the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Marijuana Agenda presents this anti-drug public service announcement.
Statistics show that 40% of all kids who smoke marijuana live in the city. Guess where the other 60% live?
To combat this sort of reefer madness, listen to the Marijuana Agenda every weekday at mjagenda.com.
The Marijuana Agenda, Kevin Sabet's boogeyman since 2012.
You have offended my family, and you have offended Shaolin Temple.
Yes, might have gotten away with it too, if it wasn't for these blasted kids and their dogs.
Looking for the 420 friendliest way to visit beautiful legal Potland, Oregon?
I'm Lori Duckworth, inviting you to come stay with us at Delta 9 House and Studios.
You get your own private room with queen bed and access to our high-speed Wi-Fi, premium entertainment system, and more.
We'll even cook you breakfast. Look us up on Facebook at Delta 9 House.
That's facebook.com/Delta9House. Delta 9 House is booked through Airbnb.com, City of Portland, permit number 17-159855.
This is your cannabis headline news. brought to you by MarijuanaMoment.net, the complete source for all your marijuana news in one morning newsletter from Marijuana Majority founder Tom Angel. Subscribe today for free at MarijuanaMoment.net.
This is your cannabis headline news for Friday, June 16th, 2017. President Trump, speaking at the signing of an executive order about jobs, signaled his administration will be cracking down on drugs. The president, at the very close of his speech, said,
"But as we train the next generation of Americans to do their jobs, all of us here today have to do our jobs. We have to join forces, join hands, and join together to restore the American dream for all of our people. And one of the parts of the American dream is we're going to come down very, very hard. And we already have, you see, in what's going on the border, on this massive drug problem that we have in the United States and, frankly, that other countries have also. And we're coming down very, very hard on it. And if we don't, it's called shame on us."
Keegan Hamilton at Vice News reports that Roger Stone, a longtime Trump friend and ally who's a prominent figure in the ongoing investigation into Russian interference in the 2016 election, has formed the United States Cannabis Coalition, a new political organization whose stated purpose is to, quote, "lobby the Trump administration from the top on down to recognize the medicinal value and potential of cannabis." Trump said on the campaign trail that he thinks marijuana, quote, "should be a state issue," and Stone told Vice News his, quote, "first and foremost goal is to urge the president to keep his pledge and direct the Justice Department to reflect the views he stated in the campaign," end quote. Stone filed paperwork with the IRS on Tuesday to formally create the United States Cannabis Coalition. It's registered as a political organization with 527 status, the same tax-exempt classification used by super PACs and other groups formed to influence elections. Massroots' Tom Angel reports that a group of Democratic and Republican House and Senate lawmakers introduced comprehensive medical cannabis legislation on Thursday. The bills, titled the Compassionate Access Research Expansion and Respect States Act, or CARERS Act, would shield medical marijuana patients and providers who are following state law from federal prosecution. They would also allow the Department of Veterans Affairs doctors to recommend medical cannabis to military veterans in states where it is legal. Additionally, the legislation exempts cannabidiol, or CBD, from the Controlled Substances Act and removes roadblocks that have stood in the way of robust research on marijuana's medical benefits. Senator Cory Booker, Democrat of New Jersey, is the Senate bill's lead sponsor. Along with Booker, the new Senate bill is sponsored by Senators Mike Lee, Republican of Utah, Kirsten Gillibrand, Democrat of New York, Rand Paul, Republican of Kentucky, Al Franken, Democrat of Minnesota, and Lisa Murkowski, Republican of Alaska. On the House side, initial sponsors are Representative Steve Cohen, Democrat of Tennessee, and Don Young, Republican of Alaska. The new versions of the legislation do not include provisions on rescheduling cannabis and increasing marijuana businesses' access to banks, which were sticking points that had reportedly prevented more members of Congress from signing on to earlier bills. Vermont Governor Phil Scott has accepted most of the changes lawmakers have suggested to a marijuana legalization bill he vetoed recently, but he wants some additional amendments before he'll sign the bill into law. The Vermont Press Bureau reports that Scott said the bill must include strengthening penalties for providing or selling marijuana to minors. Scott also wants representatives from the Department of Public Safety, the Department of Health, the Department of Taxes, and members of the Substance Abuse Prevention and Treatment Community added to a commission tasked with finding a THC impairment level and testing mechanism for drivers, among other considerations. Scott has accepted an increased fine of $200 for a passenger consuming marijuana in a vehicle, but is seeking the inclusion of a definition for open container that is contained in Massachusetts law. Additionally, the governor is seeking to make consuming marijuana in a car with a minor present a misdemeanor criminal offense. Marijuana Industry News reports that the Maine Senate voted to approve LD 764, a bill that would prevent medical marijuana patients from being denied organ transplants. Under the proposed measure, medical marijuana patient status, quote, "may not be the sole disqualifying factor in determining the qualifying patient's suitability for receiving an anatomical gift," end quote. This has been your Cannabis Headline News for Friday, June 16th, 2017. I'm Russ Belville.
You're listening to The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
At Herbie Liberty's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics. Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville. I'm Russ Belville from the Marijuana Agenda. Join me every 4 weeks for the Celebrity Marijuana Zone with Steve Bloom from CelebStoner.com. Learn more at MJAgenda.com/about.
The Marijuana Agenda, like the Alcohol Agenda. Lot safer.
If you work in the cannabis industry, consume marijuana, or just support freedom, you need to know about breaking policy news that affects you. Marijuana Moment is the daily newsletter that helps you stay on top of all the latest and most important state, federal, and international cannabis developments. Brought to you by longtime legalization activist Tom Angel, Marijuana Moment puts a concise yet comprehensive overview of cannabis news in your inbox early every weekday morning. Wake up to Marijuana Moment and rest assured you'll be ready for the cannabis news that's driving the day. Subscribe now at marijuanamoment.net.
Activism begins with ACT. The Marijuana Agenda features the stories of hardworking grassroots activists working for an end to prohibition in today's activist agenda.
Good day and welcome to Activist Agenda. I'm Russ Belville. For Activist Agenda today, we take you back to the Portland Hemp Fest Expo to listen to some highlights of a presentation delivered by Nishan Karasik, the Chief Strategy Officer of Phylos Bioscience, based in Portland, Oregon. Nishan delivered a presentation on cannabis science and naming. We take you to that presentation now.
My name is Nishan Karasik. I'm a co-founder of Phylos Bioscience, and we're a genomic sequencing company. We specialize on cannabis. And so we started the company realizing that we needed to bring science to the industry. It seemed to be lacking. So we realized that this is what the industry looked like at that point. This is about 2014. You know, there's general labels and cannabis in it. Maybe it makes sense that it really is that. Maybe it doesn't. We were inspired by this article in the New York Times. The guy in it went to a dispensary, bought something he really liked, and then he went back. I think he first went to another dispensary and tried to buy that same variety and didn't find the same thing that he bought before. So he goes back to the original dispensary trying to buy the same thing, and again doesn't buy that variety because all that people are really selling is a name. So the co-founder is Mowgli Holmes, who's a geneticist. And one of his professors, Rob DeSalle, he called up, who is really a cool guy, and he figured that maybe he might be interested in a project like this. He called him up, and Rob DeSalle from the American Museum of Natural History gave us a little bit of money to do our first sequencing. And so we collected a bunch of samples. In that initial phase of collection, we collected samples from all over the world, from many different collectors. I think a couple of months ago, we had samples from 80 different countries. By now, it's more than that. The idea was to look at, as you look at sequencing projects, you want to try to find out a couple of different things. And there's some very cool questions that can be asked. But, you know, what is the origin? How did it travel? We've been carrying this plant around with us for 10,000 years. And there's been many, many trading routes, many, you know, ship and land and whatnot. So can we see some of that population changing over time, you know, as it goes through Africa to South America and up? Or, you know, what is Cannabis Americana? You know, some of these questions we're really looking to ask. And those questions are possible to be answered, but they're a little harder to answer because some of these things are not, they don't have very good records. So Herborea do have good records where they've locked in a date, and we're now just collecting some of those samples. We're right now negotiating with China for a sample that's 2500 BC. This is on the bottom right there. There's about a 2-pound basket full of cannabis. And based on the chemical testing in that right now, it looks like that's a breakdown of actually pretty decent THC. And this is a grave from a shaman in China. And some of the other samples we have are from the 1930s. There's a collection that went out during Prohibition. So someone went out and shut all those shops down. And a lot of these samples show similar outcome data that we are expecting from today. You know, PTSD, pain, sleep, aphrodisia, you know. So our lab right now is, our actual laboratory is probably twice this size. We just had to hire a bunch more people and buy more equipment and whatnot. So a little bit about DNA. I'm sure you guys all know about DNA. It's in every cell. It's in a chromosome. And those sequences are instructions for the plant to do specific tasks. So it's in every organism, and it's a source code. But it can tell us a couple of different kinds of pieces of information. The traits, you know, how much CBD, how internodal length, the yield sizes, all of those kinds of things. It can tell us about the ancestry, so your heritage, where did you come from. And it also talks about us as individuals and can identify us as individuals. So we decided to come up with a bunch of different products for the company. And one of them is Tools for Breeders, which in fact actually takes the longest to develop because you need to do a lot of plant sequencing. But the first one we focused on was a plant sex test. And that basically just tells the sex of a plant within 7 days, and you don't even have to move it out of the prop trays. You can basically take it from the cotyledon leaf. It's the only legal sex test right now because the cotyledon leaf has no trichome production. So trichomes, any amount of THC is illegal to cross state lines. We also have a genotype test, which is an identity test. Sorry about that. So we have a...
So I'm terribly sorry to interrupt your flow because this is an awesome presentation. I just need to give everybody a little bit of update. If they're looking at the schedule today as being extremely strict, it may not have been quite as strict as I intended. Ed will be starting here in a little while after Nishan's presentation for Phylos is done. And for people that were interested in the other scheduled presentation at 2 o'clock, we're going to be starting that up in the AV room, which is out front and immediately to the left. It's room 101, and that'll be with Megan Schwarting and Trista Ockel. And now I return you to your regularly scheduled content.
So this is the plant sex test. I'm going to go through this really quickly. There are a kit, and you buy it. You smash a cotyledon leaf on a piece of paper. You send it in, and 48 hours after we receive it, you get your results back that says it's a male and a female. A lot of times people ask us, they don't believe that we can do that. What we look for is a Y chromosome and a reference cannabis sequence. And so we just measure, as you can see, maybe not so well, but on this little amplification plot, we look for the Y chromosome and we look for the cannabis reference. If it has the Y chromosome and the cannabis reference, we can call it a male. If it just has the cannabis reference, it's a female. We do not call hermaphrodites because they're oftentimes environmentally determined. At this point, we don't know what the actual marker is. It's a variable that is grower, oftentimes grower or environment induced. Our largest set of we've done up to 18,000 sex tests at one time, all the way down to four. Four is on one card. Our identity test is, we looked at it, and our actual name is Phylos, which is based on a phylogenetic tree. And we sequenced our first run and our first collection, and we did it as a phylogenetic tree, thinking that was Rob DeSalle's expertise is in phylogenetic trees, and we went that route. And this is what an evolutionary tree looks like, you know, mom, dad, children, crossing, you know, all of that. And we think of it in the way that we think about humans, our mom and our dad, our children. Those children have, you know, wives, husbands, then have children from that. But in cannabis and plants, it gets a lot more complicated because we do inbreeding and we do back crossing and up crossing. And so when you look at this, it gets really ugly really, really quick. And so pretty quickly we realized that evolutionary tree wouldn't work for looking at, you know, how things are related in cannabis. So then we looked at network relationships. And this is from wine and sort of how these plants are crossed and related. But again, there's no spatial information here. And there's these nice lines that say this came from this, that came from that. And so we looked at that. We also looked at some of these relationship networks to see how, you know, and this is a stated one from Seed Finder, I think, but this is all, this information is just stated information. So I took a X plant and crossed with a Y plant and I got a Z plant. And the only thing that I really know is Z plant because I named it. Most of the time we don't know what we actually have. In fact, when we've sequenced varieties of whole farms, we find a significant amount of replications. People have the same plant named different things, or they just don't have what they think they have. So we also then looked at relationship clustering to see if that would work, you know, and this sort of puts them in a scatter plot. And that looks pretty interesting in terms of genetic information. We also then looked at like a 23andMe to look at heritage and see how much of your heritage is made up from different clusters of known sequences. And what we came up with, and if you're not familiar with it, we have a three-dimensional relationship map that has sequenced, and it's available to everybody to go on the web and look at this. It's galaxy.phylosbioscience.com, or you can just search Phylos Galaxy. And basically, we put samples that are similar or the same thing really close together, and those that are less similar, more further apart. And the lines indicate a primary relationship, so a sibling or a parent-child relationship. And that sample that just went across was called GAL, you know, whatever, 305 or something. And that really says that we have multiple samples as one plant, and they're all different names. So we can't be the experts to know what name it actually is. It's all up to you guys. This is an open source project, and that we want everybody to participate. And so if you look in, you know, ACDC cluster, that's pretty well known. There's a few people that call it Sour Tsunami or something else, but most people really think that that's ACDC and Harlequin. And OG Kush is a different example where there's Larry's OG, OG Kush, XXX, Miyagi, all kinds of names from the same cut and the same plant. And I think that that's because it's underground and people are trying to brand that phenotype, their way of growing. So a phenotype is a effect of the environment on a genotype, and a genotype is a plant. And so, you know, the naming problem is a bit of a challenge.
This episode was produced as part of the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville, the daily news and interview podcast covering the world of medical cannabis, adult marijuana, industrial hemp, and spiritual ganja. MJAgenda.com.
Hi, I'm Russ Belville from the Marijuana Agenda. Putting together the most comprehensive live weekday marijuana news talk program is a full-time job. Now you can do your part to ensure that listener-supported independent cannabis radio journalism can continue by becoming a patron of the Marijuana Agenda. Just log on to MJAgenda.com and click the Become a Patron button. If you're an organization or business looking to promote your brand, we have sponsorship patronage available at MJAgenda.com. Sponsorship includes 15 and 30 second ad breaks and 6 minute interviews on the podcast, depending on sponsorship level, which begins at $19.99 a month. Thank you for your support, and remember, I cannot do it without you. Please become a patron today at MJAgenda.com. And now, in the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Marijuana Agenda presents this anti-drug public service announcement.
And here comes Chris Hill, 4 feet six out of Jefferson Elementary, a confident young man with a great stride, but he might be in trouble now.
Hey, Chris. Wanna get high? No way, man. This stuff's for losers.
Chris Hill never hesitates, just blows past that guy, Bob.
You're right, Mike. Look, Chris is known for his great head shake. Then he shifts his weight to the right foot, finds a hole, and zip, he's out of there.
Spectacular, just spectacular. This kid's got a bright future.
To combat this sort of reefer madness, listen to the Marijuana Agenda every weekday at MJAgenda.com.
You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
Promoting the end of adult cannabis prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It's even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more on this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
The American Civil Liberties Union of New Jersey has released a new report called Unequal and Unfair: New Jersey's War on Marijuana Users. The report states, New Jersey's marijuana laws are failing us. Law enforcement has unsuccessfully tried for more than 80 years to arrest marijuana use out of existence, but support for making it legal is greater than it's ever been. Each year, New Jersey police make increasingly more marijuana possession arrests, yet the state has little to show for it. Prohibition has failed. It's time for common sense. New Jersey's arrest practices for marijuana possession illustrate the failure of marijuana enforcement. They have a devastating impact of aggressive, costly, racially disparate punishment for use of a drug that for adults is less dangerous than alcohol. For the first time ever, the analysis in this report takes a deep dive into New Jersey's marijuana possession arrest practices. What it finds is deeply troubling. New Jersey is making more arrests for marijuana possession than ever in a manner that is more racially disparate than ever. Indeed, our marijuana arrest problem is getting worse, not better. These are the key findings. New Jersey is making more arrests for marijuana possession than ever before. In 2013, New Jersey law enforcement made 24,067 marijuana possession arrests, 26% more than in 2000 when police made 19,607 arrests. Between 2000 and 2013, New Jersey police made nearly 280,000 total marijuana possession arrests. Police make a marijuana possession arrest in New Jersey on average every 22 minutes. This plays out with varying frequency across the state. Cape May was the county with the highest per capita arrest rate in 2013, and the 28th Legislative District, represented by Senator Ron Rice and Assembly members Ralph Caputo and Cleopatra Tucker, was the district with the highest per capita arrest rate that year. Seaside Park in Ocean County had the highest per capita arrest rate of any community in the state. Racial disparities in New Jersey marijuana arrests are at an all-time high. The racial disparity in marijuana possession arrests reached an all-time high in 2013. That year, black New Jerseyans were more than three times likely to be arrested for marijuana possession than whites, despite similar usage rates. In 2000, blacks were 2.2 times more likely to be arrested than whites, which means they've had an increase of 34%. In 2013, blacks were 11.3 times more likely to be arrested than whites in the 21st Legislative District, and in Point Pleasant Beach, blacks were 31.8 times more likely to be arrested for marijuana possession than whites in 2013, the highest racial disparity of any municipality included in the study. New Jersey wastes more than $143 million per year to enforce our marijuana possession arrests. Adding up the cost to police, courts, and corrections, New Jersey expends tremendous resources to implement and enforce marijuana possession prohibition. Indeed, throughout the past decade, New Jersey has spent more than $1 billion to enforce these laws. 9 out of 10 marijuana arrests are of users, not dealers. In 2013, marijuana possession arrests made up 88% of total marijuana arrests statewide. In other words, nearly 9 out of 10 arrests made for marijuana were not of dealers or kingpins, but rather New Jerseyans who possess the lowest amount counted by New Jersey law. These findings are particularly troubling when one understands the potential collateral of jail, loss of job, criminal record for at least 3 years, driver's license suspension, up to $1,255 in fines and fees, and potential consequences for one's immigration status, financial aid eligibility, access to public housing, and ability to adopt children.
You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association and the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details. And now, in the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Marijuana Agenda presents this anti-drug public service announcement.
Hey, Joey! I got some stuff you just gotta try.
What is it?
Pot.
You know,
marijuana.
Oh, well, I don't know.
What, chicken?
Joey's in a jam. What should he do? Cake.
Get a pizza.
Excellent.
Get a pizza.
Get real.
Get
you got it. Let's see if Joey's that smart.
I'm not chicken. You're a turkey.
He's right. Drug dealers are dorks. Don't even talk to him.
Cowabunga!
To combat this sort of reefer madness, listen to the Marijuana Agenda every weekday at MJAgenda.com.
You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
I'm Russ Belville with the Marijuana Agenda. Join me every 2 weeks for the Cannabis Minority Report from the Minority Cannabis Business Association. Learn more at mjagenda.com/about.
This is Pot and Public Policy. As marijuana legislation continues throughout the United States, it becomes less of an issue of if and when, and more of an issue of how the laws and regulations are crafted. Today, we learn more about the administration and bureaucracy behind ending adult cannabis prohibition with another expert from the world of pot and public policy.
Welcome to Pot and Public Policy. I'm Russ Belville. Joining us today on the program, we have John Hudak. He's a senior fellow for governance studies and the deputy director of the Center for Effective Public Management at the Brookings Institute. John, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me back.
With marijuana reform taking such a prominent level, gaining such attention at the state level, it's interesting to watch how the federal government is reacting to the states. And we have a number of congressmen who are working to reform federal laws to help the states that have passed these marijuana reforms. Could you tell our listeners a little bit about what's happening at the federal level with respect to marijuana issues?
I think for people in the marijuana advocacy community, this new Congress is an exciting time and offers an exciting space. And here's why. I'm not going to say that all of the challenges facing the marijuana industry or all of the wants and needs of the marijuana advocacy community are going to be achieved or delivered by this Congress. In fact, I would venture to guess that probably none of them will be. But there's been a real change in tone in this Congress, and that's the first step toward federal level, meaningful federal level policy change. What you're seeing is that in the wake of really divisive partisanship and investigations into the president and criticisms of members of Congress on both sides of the aisle, you're seeing marijuana poke through as something that people are very eager to unite around. And it ends up being in some ways a safe space that cuts above this partisan gridlock. And, you know, we've seen this week there was a press conference on Capitol Hill with Tom Garrett, a Republican from Virginia, and Tulsi Gabbard, a Democrat from Hawaii, coming together, two people who almost certainly don't vote together on many things, talking about a new bill that they have called Ending Federal Marijuana Prohibition Act. And that is something that speaks not just to the nature of their engagement, but to the engagement between many members of Congress. It's moving into the Senate in a way that I think is starting the ball rolling toward serious change in the coming years.
That's interesting, because I was going to ask if you thought the scandals surrounding the Trump administration with regard to Russia and everything that's going on there might suck all the oxygen out of the room and make it impossible to move forward. But it sounds as if you're saying this is a welcome respite from all of that for some of our Congress members.
I think it really is, but I will caution to say that I do think that the investigations into the president, which are seemingly getting more complex and more serious every day, will suck the oxygen out of the room in terms of passing legislation. And so this happens in Congresses during periods of scandal, whether they're congressional scandals or they are presidential scandals. And I think regardless of your position on whether the president has done something very wrong, or that his team has, or that you think that this is drummed up nonsense, the reality is these are serious investigations, serious in the sense that they are ongoing, they are widespread, and they are taking a lot of congressional attention. And so that naturally does affect the progress and the capacity and the productivity of a Congress. But what we're finding is that beyond being able to vote, I think members of Congress are getting to know each other around these issues. And when you're a member of Congress and you're day after day just at each other's throats with the other side, having some issue, any issue, whether it's criminal justice reform, whether it's marijuana policy, whether it's veterans issues, the opioid crisis, if there's a place that you can talk to someone from the other party, I think most of your listeners probably won't believe it, but members of Congress actually like that. They like having that opportunity. And in a big way, marijuana is that opportunity.
Interesting. And you mentioned the change of tone up on Capitol Hill, and I saw a tweet coming across this week where Ben Sasse and Chuck Schumer, two senators, were making some sort of joke about how it looked like they were smoking reefers in one of their photographs. Meanwhile, on the other side of the aisle, you get people like Jeff Sessions and Governor Chris Christie, Attorney General Sessions and Governor Chris Christie, who are seemingly trying to revive the gateway theory and the drug policies of the 1980s. So speak a little to that, to the tone, and whether the tone is better on one side of the aisle or the other.
You know, I think it's hard to imagine that there's a scenario in which Democrats don't just relish the opportunity to stick it to President Trump. And in many ways, they certainly do. But the magnitude of the scandals that are going on right now actually becomes sickening to members of Congress on both sides. And so in those situations, there's actually some real motivation to get away from it and to talk to each other and to get to know each other and to talk about something other than Donald Trump and Russia and Mike Flynn and the rest. And so there's this picture from Capitol Hill where Senator Sasse from Nebraska is in running clothes, and Chuck Schumer looks like he's just coming off the set of the newest Hangover movie. His tie's undone, his hair's a mess, his shirt's unbuttoned, and Tom Cotton from Arkansas has his back to the camera, and of course he's buttoned up like a narc. But it's a really silly picture, but I think it speaks to this real desire for people to break away from it, even if it's for a few minutes, and just, you know, shoot the shit about something else. And then, like you said, you have the other side, which is a few members of the administration, some number of members of this administration, who are actively building a time machine back to the 1950s when it comes to drug policy, where the solution to addiction is criminalization, where the gateway theory is something that hasn't been disproven, that there's something about our criminal justice system that means we need to fill more prisons and take opportunities away from more people. And it's this weird disconnect in Washington, and disconnects in Washington are certainly nothing new. But it is odd when you look at Congress, which is usually so detached from what the public is thinking, actually doing a lot of things that the public is asking for, and at least trying to behave a little more civilly. And you contrast that with an administration that is new to office, and you would think would be riding on the wave of public sentiment, in many cases doing everything they can to subvert public sentiment and the public will.
One of those subversions of the public's will seems to be the reversal of the Holder era memo that relaxed some of the prosecutorial standards with regards to mandatory minimum sentences. And I was a bit taken aback by the bipartisan condemnation of that move. And even from outside of politics, we had Christian broadcaster Pat Robertson, the former 1980s presidential candidate, excoriating Attorney General Sessions for this move. Did that catch you by surprise, the wholesale condemnation, it seems?
It did not, actually. And here's why I wasn't surprised, because it's such bad policy. You know, most people, when there's a new policy, you know, they fall in line behind what their party thinks. And then there are policies that are so beyond the pale that even your partisanship can't make you look the other way. And this is Jeff Sessions. This isn't U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions. This is old-timey Alabama Attorney General Jeff Sessions at work. And this policy is not something that is thoughtful. It's not something that is in line with what most Americans think. It's something that's hateful. It's something that's going to have very serious racial effects. It's something that both empowers prosecutors to do things and then also restricts prosecutors from doing things. And so let me break that down a little. The Attorney General is encouraging U.S. attorneys to explore as much as they can to get to a certain outcome. So that offers some prosecutorial discretion. And prosecutorial discretion, particularly in the criminal justice system, is oftentimes the capstone of change. But what he also does is he hems in the U.S. attorneys, the federal prosecutors, by saying, if you deviate from mandatory minimum sentences, from just oppressively harsh charges and sentencing, you have to explain exactly why, and we're going to be watching you at every step. And so for these small government conservatives, they certainly look like big government, big brother, pro-prison, there's not even an ideology or a party to slap onto the end of that one. And so, yeah, it's very alarming. And in terms of the bipartisan condemnation, I think, like with marijuana policy, it's one of those things that people can join hands and agree on. And I mean, when you have, Bernie Sanders agreeing with the Koch brothers, that gives you an idea of how devastating this policy really is, and just how bad, like I said at the beginning, just how bad it is. It's just stupid public policy from a man who doesn't get it.
Well put. And one last topic to discuss as far as at the federal level, protections for the states that are engaged in reforming their marijuana laws. We did see the Rohrabacher-Blumenauer amendment included with the federal appropriations package. How long does that protect us? And do you have any updates on, I heard there was a problem with including North Dakota in that.
Sure. So the what is now the Rohrabacher-Blumenauer Amendment, which was previously the Rohrabacher-Farr Amendment, but Sam Farr has since retired from Congress, was part of the continuing resolution that was passed last month that continued funding the U.S. government through September. And so this is good law. The same protections that were in place last time around this will continue in place until September, except other states that have since amended their laws to include, to expand medical marijuana, have been included with, oddly, the exception of North Dakota, because I haven't heard exactly why that is, but they were left off the list. I do think that North Dakota, if the system got up and running and federal prosecutors stepped in and tried to do something, North Dakota would probably have some sort of claim to say that the legislative intent was to cover all states and that their exclusion was a mistake. It's not a solid claim, but it could be one that is made. But the reality is North Dakota just newly legalized medical marijuana. The system is going to be slow to get started, especially with a governor who's opposed. And this amendment, the Rohrabacher-Blumenauer amendment, expires in September when the federal funding, the continuing resolution funding the government expires. And so my guess is in the next round they'll fix these things. It should come as a surprise to no one that members of Congress screw things up once in a while, and I think this was sort of a basic screw-up.
All right. Well, that's good to hear. John Hudak is a senior fellow at the Brookings Institute working on governance studies, and we appreciate your expertise here on Pot and Public Policy. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks a lot.
This episode was produced as part of the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville, the daily news and interview podcast covering the world of medical cannabis, adult marijuana, industrial hemp, and spiritual ganja. MJAgenda.com.
Buddy, it's Russ Belville from the Marijuana Agenda, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
And now, in the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Marijuana Agenda presents this anti-drug public service announcement.
Hey, Lindsay?
I wish you didn't smoke weed. You're not the same when you smoke. And I miss my friend. I'll be outside.
To combat this sort of reefer madness, listen to The Marijuana Agenda every weekday at mjagenda.com.
The Marijuana Agenda. Like the liberal agenda, but with profits. Ka-ching.
I'm Russ Belville with The Marijuana Agenda. Join me every 2 weeks for Cannabis Q&A with Dr. Mitch Earlywine from the Burning Issues podcast on CannabisRadio.com. Learn more at MJAgenda.com/about.
As we prepare for the weekend, we remember that the fight to end adult marijuana prohibition is as much about culture as it is about criminal justice. Music has always been at the forefront of revolution, and the marijuana movement is no different. Join us as we visit with Herb Thrasher, program manager at 420radio.org, for this edition of Reefer Rock Review.
All right, it's Friday, and that means it's time for our Reefer Rock Review. We got Herb Thrasher sitting in the studio with us. How's it going, Herb?
Doing great. Another great week in the world of music and reefer. Almost had Vermont, but not this time.
Frustrating.
But we still got music, got a lot of great festivals coming up in the music season, and thought we would talk about the Maryland Doom Fest. Within 1 month away from this, June 22nd through the 25th, it's going to be in Maryland at Cafe 611 on North Market Street in Frederick, Maryland. And one of the things I'd like to discuss real quick is doom. Doom shouldn't doom. Be a scary word. Don't be afraid of the word doom metal. A lot of times we hear this and we see this and we go right by it. And this festival is a prime example, because this festival could as well just be called the Maryland Doom Rock and Roll Stoner Rock Heavy Metal Psychedelic Rock and Roll Festival. It could definitely be called something like that, because all the bands that are there make up all kinds of heavy metal, almost like how many words we have: marijuana, pot, cannabis.
Yeah.
I mean, we can keep going. And in the world of metal, we have that as well. And doom is one of those words that it's almost like marijuana. Whoa.
Yeah.
Can't say that anymore. But a lot of great bands that we play on 420 Radio all the time. Got a pre-show gig on the 22nd, starting off with Valkyrie as the headliner. And then on the 23rd, we've got Captain Beyond and Lopan as the headliners. Remember Lopan?
Yeah.
I play a lot of them. And then we've got a headliner on the 24th that a lot of us in the Northwest might know, especially here in Portland. Had them in studio with us, you might remember. And that is Black Pussy on the 24th. And then we've got The Skull also playing the Big Hall Cafe 611 on the 24th. Actually, Black Pussy will be at Guido's Speakeasy.
We got Woe Fat on that?
We've got Woe Fat on that gig, which we also got The Watchers, interviewed The Watchers before. So playing a lot of these bands. And then on the final night, June 25th, we've got Freedom Hawk, the Atomic Bitchwax, a lot of bands that we play all the time that define this whole stoner rock, rock and roll, heavy metal kind of vibe. So things like this are a great thing to look into. So if you're over there on the East Coast next month, June 22nd through the 25th, great festival to look into is the Maryland Doom Fest. I know I would be there in a heartbeat, Russ, if I could.
I wonder how many gamers are going to show up there thinking it's the Doom video game.
there you go, and that could be. But I think our Doom fans are well entombed in this whole music world, and they'll get it. So definitely check out festivals like this, and a lot of festivals bringing a lot of great music, different kinds of rock and roll music throughout the summer. And we'll be talking about that right here on Reefer Rock and also on the Herb Thrasher Flower, which you can listen to on Friday nights on 420 Radio at 8 p.m. Pacific Live. Also wanted to talk about a new album release. We've got, in the world of rock, Nuclear Blast Records, usually known for their heavy metal and death metal vibe. Well, this time they're releasing from the band The Night Flight Orchestra. And the album is called Amber Galactic, and it has 10 tracks, 50 minutes of music. And what's special about this album is Bjorn Stride from Soilwork and a lot of death metal bands like Arch Enemy and other. This whole band is made up from members of that, tackling the whole rock world. Russ, this is going back to Foreigner. This is going back to that whole retro kind of Kansas kind of bands like that, maybe bringing in a disco kind of tribute too. So nice to kind of get something different in the music world that we're kind of, you know, that's because so many bands these days, they're not in just one band anymore. It's common to be in two, three bands. They're not just projects.
Yeah.
I mean, this is what the music world has come to. So great stuff. Look into it. We'll be playing tunes from that album tomorrow night and more. One more quick thing. Is this great month, a great week in the world of music. We've had a couple of releases on the May 23rd, 1979. The album from Destroyer from Kiss was released. I mean, Dynasty from Kiss was released. And then we have on May 24th, 1986, you might remember this one from AC/DC, Who Made Who. And then from May 25th, 1993, the first album John Bush did with Anthrax, The Sound of White Music. And Russ, one of my favorites of all time, May 25th, 1983, from Ronnie James Dio, Holy Diver. You can always find great stories like that, great tributes, great history lessons. Go to at This Day in Metal on Twitter, and you can find great stuff like that as well.
Far out. All right, so what's up with Herb Thrasher? Because I know you're involved with Portland Normal and a lot of the festivals and the circuits that are around here in the Pacific Northwest. Big shows coming up around here?
Really, not too much big shows yet that's been announced, but there's definitely going to come. You know, the whole festival, especially in the festival scene in the Northwest, has kind of changed. It's almost like when legalization came, our festivals went down instead of up. You know, it's weird how when it was legal, we had festivals like every week. And so things have changed here. But music world's doing good. We have a Portland Normal membership meeting this weekend on Saturday here in Portland, Oregon at the Analog Cafe. And you can find that on our Portland Normal Facebook page or our website. All the information is there. Looking forward to having Moto Perpetuo Farms there this weekend to kind of educate us, help drive us into this whole growing, you know, because it's time here. And in Oregon, it's legal.
Yeah.
And so we might as well learn as well. So it's exciting to have a farm, some professionals come out and kind of give back to the community and help us get our thing going.
PortlandNormal.org for all the information you need on that. And we're coming around the Memorial Day weekend, which means summertime's happening, and we'll have the Northwest String Summit. We'll have Seattle Hemp Fest. There'll be a bunch of stuff to do.
Also have the Pickathon. So, you know, there is some festivals coming up here in the Northwest that'll be announcing, and also still have the Seattle Hemp Fest.
Yeah, damn right. And the day after Seattle Hemp Fest, the Monday after Hemp Fest, the annular eclipse, the total eclipse, crosses Oregon. It starts on the Oregon coast at Depot Bay, actually, and it goes over Salem. And you'll get a partial eclipse in Portland, but if you get down there to Salem, I'm going to go down to Salem and watch the full eclipse. What metal song will you play during an eclipse if you have to turn the speakers up and it just goes dark and the sun disappears? What's a good metal song that I should play?
Man, I'm going to have to think about that one.
We'll do that for next weekend?
We'll do that for next
Friday.
Weekend.
That's our assignment.
But I do remember Total Eclipse of the Heart, and that's what came to mind.
Turn around.
Was that Kim Carnes or something?
Bonnie Tyler.
Bonnie Tyler, back in the day.
So. You're going to blow your metal cred, man.
Hey, man, I'm music, dude. We're music through and through.
Oh, folks, that's all the time we got today. But, hey, great having you come in here, Herb, for the Reefer Rock Review. We'll be listening on 420 Radio, and we'll see you at that Portland Normal meeting.
All right. Everyone take care.
Yeah, I love talking to Herb Thrasher. He'll be in next Friday with more in the Reefer Rock Review. And that's all the time we got for Hour 1, but stay tuned for Hour 2. Toker Talk Radio is coming up next.
And in Toker Talk Radio, we got an update on that Massachusetts pot bill. We've got to talk about Erica Marie Tucker, the DEA's slang list of marijuana slang, more on Miley Cyrus, and the Philando Castile verdict.
Follow MJ Agenda on Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, YouTube, and follow MJ Agenda Show on Twitter. Learn more at MJAgenda.com.
Thanks, everybody, for following us. That's all the time we got. For everyone here at Delta 9 Studios, I'm Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
You take a seat, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you own it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.